This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. The U.S. unemployment rate was 8.2% a year ago. Now it's 7.4, the lowest it's been in more than 4 years. Things have improved since the recession. Still, the job market seems sluggish. Fewer people are in the workforce. Long-term unemployment has gone up. We'll be talking about the latest jobs numbers in the first part of the show, and later we'll look at navigating the job market, employment and training services for local job seekers. And joining me to talk about the jobs numbers are Gary Clayton, professor of economics at Northern Kentucky University, and LaVon Henry, vice president and senior regional officer of the Cincinnati branch of the Cleveland Federal Reserve. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks to both of you for joining me this afternoon. Greatly appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mark.
Hey, I've heard the current jobs market described in these words, not just once, but several times, decent but not great. Gary, how would you characterize it?
I would characterize it that way, and that might be a little bit optimistic. It really ought to be a little bit stronger. It's kind of depressing sometimes looking at the numbers and seeing how many people are unemployed.
I definitely agree. We are in, no matter how you cut it, we truly are in a broader economic recovery. But if one really digs into the specifics of the unemployment, of trends in the unemployment market, it is not a great recovery. I mean, yes, okay, great. We're down to 7.4%.
Right.
But we're still far removed from where we want to be at the Federal Reserve. And that's in the 5 to 6% range, let's say at max 6.5%. But if you really dig into on a national level, our unemployment rate is actually much higher than 7.4%. If
it
you
sure
look
is.
At a broader, you know what I'm talking about, Gary.
Yep, you bet.
If you look at a broader measure of unemployment, it's called the U6 index.
U6, yes.
Exactly. That, for the listeners, is unemployment that counts into a fact of people who are part-time working but want to be full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. You're working 4 hours a day. You're unemployed for 4 hours a day too, okay? The unemployment rate's 13.7%.
Yeah.
Call it 14%.
Right. The official rate that you always hear is the U3 number.
Exactly.
That's the 7.4. And then what does the U6 factor in that makes it so much larger?
Go ahead. I'll let you tackle that.
Okay. The U6 factors in multiple other things, but the big kahuna, part-time workers seeking full-time employment. Okay. A year ago, and I'm talking nationally here, that number was, at least through the end of July 2012, 8.2 million, specifically 8.25 million workers.
Wow.
You know what it is now? 8.25 million workers.
Yeah.
It has not changed.
Yeah.
Another big component of that is people who are marginally attached to the labor force. Hey, guess what? I looked for a job this month. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find it. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to look next month. That's actually gone up. So at the end of the day, we have a lot of our cohort, a lot of our other citizens who are out there looking for jobs can't find the appropriate employment for multiple reasons. If you look at the ratio of the U6 index, I know we're getting kind of wonky here, but if you look at the ratio of the U6 index to the more popular version, the U3, the normal employment rate you see the first Friday of every month, that's risen over the last year from about 1.75 on a ratio to 1.9 on a ratio.
And one thing that makes it tougher for everybody is that if you were only working part-time, you're probably not getting all the health benefits and other side benefits. And the problem is that industry has learned to live with the part-time labor force. And they like to hire part-time people, temps and whatnot, so they don't have to pay the fringes. And that it's just not that you earn less, it's that you actually get less.
Yes.
Well, LaVon, you were talking about how there's numbers inside these numbers, different mm-hmm. trends that you look at that are still bothering you. A couple of troubling trends, fewer people in the workforce is one. The average duration of joblessness, that's what now, almost 37 weeks?
I don't have the actual number in front of me. I can tell you, though, in terms of magnitude of people nationally, those who are unemployed 27 weeks or longer, half a year longer, mm-hmm. it fell from about 5.2 million a year ago all the way down to 4.2 million now. So the reality is, I'd be a little facetious here, but the reality is there's progress, but not substantial progress. Yeah. And if you really want to dig into the numbers of why, it's because we fundamentally have gone through over the course of the last 5, if not 10 years, a transition in the type of labor we need, the type of employee we need in this economy to move it forward over the long run.
Right.
And that's the transition to a knowledge-based economy.
And by that, do you mean like transitioning from being a manufacturing industrial society to more of a technological service-oriented society?
Right. And right now, what we're seeing with too many of the numbers is that the growth is in the service industry and basically the low-paid people. Mm-hmm. And they're getting a job, but still we're not getting the type of people we need.
Exactly. If you look at where we lost jobs, okay, my friend, you look at where we lost jobs to where we are gaining jobs, the sectors are so distinct as to not be mirrored. If you take three of the largest sectors in the country, construction, manufacturing, retail trade, we lost approximately from those three sectors somewhere between 6 to 8 million jobs. You know how many we've gained back in those sectors? Approximately 1 million jobs.
Right.
If you look at the sectors where we are growing, actually by leaps and bounds, professional and business services, health and education, hospitality and leisure, we've grown back approximately 5 to 6 million jobs in those categories. What's the difference between those two? Skill sets, education, training.
And pay.
And pay.
Yep.
And pay. Good paying jobs gone, lesser paying jobs, but a segment of those higher skilled jobs that have barriers to entry and harder to get.
Yep. And, you know, we hear a little bit about exporting jobs and offshoring jobs, and some of those jobs are coming back. And what that tells me when some of the jobs are coming back is that our wages and our salaries are a little bit lower than they are in the rest of the world. Why else would a company want to bring its people back? So that tells me that people – I mean, that's just common sense that people aren't getting the type of income that they used to have before.
This is so true. This is so true. Now, I really don't want to be too Pollyannish about this, but there are bright spots out there. There are bright spots out there.
And what are they?
And here they are. First, let's look at a few statistics. And I know there are lies, there are D-lies, and there's statistics, right? Well, let's talk statistics.
Thank you for doing that so we didn't have to bleep you out.
No, the FCC, they're always looking. They're looking. Well, here's the deal, my friend. Right now, number of new unemployment claims are at a cyclical low.
Right.
I believe the number came out recently, Gary, last week, what, 320,000? Somewhere in the 320s. Okay. That is approximately where many economists will call that the market is operating in normal perspective, okay, in normal rate. Keep in mind, at the depth of the recession, we were pushing 650,000 to 700,000, somewhere in that range, for weekly unemployment claims, new claims. Okay. So we've really turned the corner on people being outsourced, being unemployed, getting new.
Yeah, and that's a key thing. We have bottomed out. We're starting to come back. And that hasn't really – I guess that bottoming out happened pretty close to the end of last year, maybe January of this year. Yep. So, you know, we're on an uphill slope, but we haven't been going at it very long.
Exactly.
From where I stand, it seems agonizingly slow. Every time I see the jobs numbers, it's like pulling teeth. It's like, oh my gosh, is the situation ever going to get any better? Is it going to improve gradually?
Yes, it will be. I mean, it would be an error and a folly to say we're going to be here forever. This is not the new norm. There's some structural, some fundamental reasons why we will continue to grow. Let me speak to just three quickly. One is that there is pent-up demand out there from consumers, okay? People have been on the sideline for at least the last 4 to 5 years not buying. Consumers are coming back. When consumers, who are 70% of this economy, show their demand to the market, producers respond. People make things, and they hire people to make things, and employment comes back. Second, look at the markets we were seeing significant solid growth. And these markets do directly affect the Cincinnati economy. Auto sales. You got to build it to sell it, right?
That's correct.
Auto sales have risen nationally from 9.5 to now approaching 16 million units a year over the course of the last 4 years. That's back to normal rates. Housing market. The housing market was on its knees 3 years ago. We're now seeing annualized rate of growth. And true, this is not Cincinnati, but annualized national rates of growth, according to Case-Shiller's numbers, 12% year over year. We are short supply of houses. This is Cincinnati. We're short supply of houses. That puts pressure on price. And at the same time, healthcare. We're all, unfortunately, getting older. I take things for it. It doesn't work. But at the end of the day, we're getting older. We need more health care. We're short health care technicians.
We are. We have needs in the economy, and that's what we've got to look forward to fulfill. You know, LaVon, you talked about consumers being 70% of the economy. And one of the things that bothers me is that the federal statistics, and I'll try not to use them too often, but tell us that 40% of households in this country make less than $40,000 a year. Now, this is a problem with the distribution of income, and you have too many people not making enough. And you have 60% of the people making a little bit more. But here's the problem. The people at the top want to manufacture stuff, and they want to sell stuff. But if you have 40% of the people that can barely afford to take care of their own standard of living, they're not going to go out and be a big force in the buying part of it. So it's, the good news is we've turned the corner. The bad news is it's not robust yet. And I don't know how robust it can be, because of the lack of consumer buying power.
I don't disagree at all, Gary.
Yeah.
I don't disagree at all. Because what it fundamentally comes down to is, yes, we are accelerating, but we don't have our foot heavy on the pedal. And what fundamentally comes down to is that if consumer income doesn't grow
right.
at a greater rate, you can't up your consumption.
That's
at
right.
a greater rate. And the bottom line is, and here's just the reality, you got 7.4% unemployment. That means one in seven, no, if you go to the U6 measure, the broader measure, one in four Americans aren't actually in the role they want to be in.
Right.
What does that do? High levels of unemployment puts pressure on wages.
Sure does.
Wage pressure means lower rates of growth in income, lower rates of growth in income, lower rates of growth in consumption, lower rates
right.
of growth overall.
Right.
That's the simple economics.
And thanks for joining me this afternoon. Gary Clayton, Professor of Economics at NKU, and LaVon Henry, Vice President and Senior Regional Officer of the Cincinnati Branch of the Cleveland Federal Reserve. After the break, we'll take a look at employment and training services for local job seekers, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100 by emailing talk@wvxu.org or finding us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.